The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I'd like for us to begin this sermon and teaching today by going to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Many of you probably, as I've mentioned last time, probably have these verses committed to memory, and that's a good thing. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The book of Romans is probably the closest thing that we have in the Bible to what I would call a systematic theology. Now, what I mean by that term is it's a word that is used dealing with biblical research and scholarship, but it's more than anything else. It's a listing out in some kind of systematic way the teachings of really about how to live the godly way of life. And it's the closest thing that we have is this book. Paul, the apostle who wrote this book, did not start or begin the church in Rome, but he had every intention to visit with that congregation on his way to Spain. As a result of this, Paul wrote the epistle or the book of Romans as a way of introducing himself and to give this congregation an overview of the gospel message and what it means in the lives of believers. So for the first 11 chapters, he lists out, I'm going to say, the things of doctrine. This is what God is. This is what he's teaching. This is who he is. The word doctrine seems really just means teaching. So after he shows these doctrines regarding God's righteousness that comes through the faith in Jesus Christ, then in chapter 12, Paul begins to exhort, to encourage believers on how to live a godly way of life. And he does this through the rest of the book, through chapters 12 through 16. It's an interesting way the book is laid out. We're not going through that because what we're going to go through are these two verses. This practical, this how-to section of Romans begins with the word therefore. It would be stating something like, see all that God did on our behalf, therefore live like this, you know, dot, 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 and you fill in the blanks with all the other things that he is now getting into. We did see much of this back in part one, which we had entitled simply, Present Your Bodies. This teaching today is entitled, Present Your Bodies, Part 2. The phrase, going back to these verses 1 and 2, the phrase, the mercies of God in verse 1, it is referring primarily to all that came in chapters 1 through 11. Now, we're not going through all of that, but this is what he's saying. So, because of the mercies of God, what mercies of God? Well, all these things that he just told us about in the first 11 chapters. Paul exhorts all believers that we are to be renewed in our minds. This is what he's getting into in chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 2 again. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I mentioned earlier, many of you may have these two verses committed to memory. By the time we finish with these teachings on it, maybe all of us will have these two verses committed to memory, because I'm telling you now, I'm planning to reading these verses at least a couple more times in this particular teaching today. Paul's appeal here his exhortation here, his encouragement to the brethren here is, since we are now the recipients of God's great mercies, we are to be living sacrifices to God. So as believers today, I think it's a good idea for us to ask ourselves the question, how are we to do this? Now, as I said, back in part one, we did see a great deal of this, and so we're going to be seeing some other aspects connected with this particular question as well. How are we to do this? Because, brother, what we need to realize is one way we are living sacrifices to God is by not conforming to this world and then being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, as you go, yeah, that's real easy. That's answering a question with a question, and I understand that. But we're going to get into this, and we're going to see more of this. But that is one way how we present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God, is by not being conformed to the world and by the renewing of our minds. In reality, this appeal serves as a summary statement of all that follows in chapters 12 through 16. So I'm going to pause here and just make the statement. I encourage all of you to go back and to read the entire book of Romans. This is one of the, I'm going to say, over the years in the Church of God, probably one of the least understood books in the Bible. We've had a lot of teachings on it, but I don't know that we've always, in all of our teachings, been 100% correct. And so it's an incredible book. It's a fascinating book. And we're, out of all of these 16 chapters, we're primarily looking at two verses. So we are to see, brethren, that a living sacrifice to God is one who does not conform to the world, but who is transformed. The Greek word aion, anon, here in these verses is rendered as the word world. And it is referring literally to the spirit or the attitude of the age. In other words, whatever the age in which we're living, because during the time of Paul's life, there are other things going on that is not exactly the same. Sin was going on, and sin is going on now. There were some conversions going on then, and there are some conversions going on now. But the worlds did not look the same. In some way, people are saying, no, ours today is actually worse. And it may be. It may be. But anyway, this word world that is used here, it means to not be conformed to this way of life that is going on in the society around us. It is also a good thing to see it by using the word the pattern. The pattern. We know that there are people who take things like, I know that we have people in our congregation who are very much into, I'm going to use the word sewing as a broad term, but they take patterns and they make things out of it. And they take this pattern and they conform it to look like this pattern, a model. And it's that kind of thing. We are not to be patterned after the world. We are not to be looking like the world. So what pattern are we to look like? Well, like God, like Jesus Christ. And so when you see the word world here, this is what it's talking about. The word world is translated from other Greek words meaning other things. For example, let's see, where is it? It's in 1 John 2, verse 15, or 2 John 2, verse 15. I know there's two different books there, but and it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It's not the same word. But it obviously was implying the same thing. That word for world there is cosmos. You know, so It's very plain in Scripture that we're not to look like the world, whatever that word is meaning in the given context of where it is used. The world refers to what I'm going to also refer to as the popular worldview of the time that is rejecting God and rejecting God's way of life. We are not to be like the pattern of the world. We're to be like the pattern of God. Be not conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed to the pattern of God. It's not what it says, but that is obviously the sense of what we're reading here whenever you look at the words themselves. Another Greek word that I want to give to you, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I will spell the letters. It really is immaterial in one sense. But the Greek word is S-U-S-C-H-E-M-A-T-T-Z-O. That's the word that is translated here as conformed. And that word, the Greek word here, means to fashion alike. In other words, to match, to conform to the same pattern. So it's exactly what we're talking about. Don't take on the pattern of the world. This is what he's getting across. Our pattern is to be like God and not like the pattern of the world. Again, we need to understand unbelievers are, by their nature, conformed to the world. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you has he quickened, meaning made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, or you walked according to the ways of the world, or the pattern of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, or all had our conduct, or all had our behavior in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the heart and of the mind, that were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, as others are still to today. And those others are those who are the unbelievers. Those are who are part of the world or following the pattern of the world. Because you see, believers are no longer conformed to this world because we are no longer part of the spirit or the attitude of the age or of the pattern of the world. We are not to look like the world. We have been translated. I'm using the right word there because it's a word that's used in the scripture we're going to read. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. Go with me to Colossians 1 and verse 13. Colossians 1 and verse 13. Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us, it's the same Greek word, into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been moved from looking like the world, darkness, to looking like God, light, or Jesus Christ. Therefore, rather than continuing to conform to this world, we are to be transformed by having our minds renewed. The reason it needs to be renewed is because prior to conversion and calling, it looked like the pattern of the world. Now he is saying, now your mind needs to look like the pattern of God. I think many of us might think that if we fulfilled the conditions of Romans 12 and verse 1, then everything else would automatically work out. But that's not what we see. That's not what Paul is saying. He's saying, because he went on to say that we also have to renew our minds. In other words, it's not enough to be a living sacrifice, holy, accepted unto God. We can't end there. That's the point. Because you see here in verse 2, as believers, we're being told that we should be different than the unbelievers, those who are in or of the nature of the pattern of the world. So a question we probably need to ask ourselves, and I'm not really going into it, I'm just going to ask the question, who do I look like? You know, ask yourself, who do you look like? Do you look like the world or do you look like God? I think it's interesting that we notice that Paul says that we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Because when we really understand, rightly understanding what is being said here, the mind is the key to the life of a true believer. Because that's where it starts. That's where it has to begin. The reason why non-believers do not respond to God's truth is because they cannot discern spiritual truth because they don't have the mind for it. And so if someone is going to be discerning the truth, spiritual truth, then they have to have the mind for it. Therefore, the mind has to be transformed. Look like that, now it needs to look like this. Go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You have to have a different mind to understand the things of God. Everybody understands, in that sense, the things of the world, the pattern of the world, but not everybody understands the things of God. In one way, and I know somebody may have an objection to this, but I'm not going to try and go into and explain. I'm just going to make the statement. In one way, the gospel message, and I mean by the gospel message, I mean all that that entails. The gospel message is a calling out to the unbelievers to repent of their sins and then to embrace Jesus Christ by faith because he is the only way. Because the focus really of the gospel is on Jesus Christ. It's not necessarily so much on the kingdom where we have in times past put all of our attention. The kingdom, the gospel is about the coming kingdom. No, the gospel is about Jesus Christ who's going to be in this kingdom. There is a different mindset, different way of looking at it, and I understand that. The Greek word that is translated in the New Testament as repentance carries the concept of a change of mind. That's where it starts. That's why I said I think it's interesting when we look into this and it says, and therefore we need to be conformed by transforming the mind. And I said, this is an interesting thing. And so this is why we're looking at a lot of this. So our thinking must be changed or transformed from our old way of thinking, which is the ungodly ways of thinking, and it needs to be changed into new godly ways of thinking. What we know in our minds to be true forms a conviction in our heart of the truth. And that conviction of our hearts then translates into action. So it starts in the mind, and then as the scripture will use the word heart, then it comes into our heart, meaning we believe it, we accept it, we try to start practicing and living it as a way of life. And what does living it as a way of life look like? It's the actions. It's our behavior. So it starts in the mind. And this is what Paul is telling the Romans in this epistle to them, as I said, to introduce himself, to tell them about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how they're to have faith in him and how that is to affect our lives as believers. And God preserved this book down through history for us to have it, that it have the same kind of effect upon us. So, in other words, for us to become translated into action, be you doers and not hearers only, we must first be renewed in our minds. There may be other ways, but the only way that I know to replace the error of the world's way of thinking is to replace it with God's truth. I don't have any other way. I can't come up with any other way. I've actually thought on this for this particular teaching. Are there other ways? It's the only way I can come up with. The only way that we can replace the errors of the world's thinking that's in our minds is to take on more of the Word of God, His truth, and the only source of God's truth is His Bible. There may be articles, there may be booklets, there may be books that are written about it and explain some of the concepts and things like that. But what we got to have is the Word of God, the Holy Bible. That's the source. God is the source. He wrote it down. Jesus Christ is the Word. And so we see it in that way. So transformation through renewed minds comes as we expose ourselves to God's Word. And that's going to take personal, dedicated Bible study, coming to a knowledge and understanding of what this book says, as well as what is taught by the Church of God. Brother, no matter how you look at it, there are no shortcuts. The renewing of our minds, there are no shortcuts. There are no magical formulas for renewing our minds. We have to fill our minds with God's Word. John 17:17. Many of you will know this verse too. John 17:17. Sanctify, set them apart through your truth. Your Word is truth. This is part of the prayer that Jesus Christ prayed at the night of the Passover. He says, those that you have given to me, I want you to be with them. I want you, they to be in me like I'm in you and you're in me and they're in us. I mean, this is what he's talking about. And then he says, set them apart through your truth. Your Word is truth. The setting us apart is taking us out of the pattern of the world and being conformed to the truth of God. Looking more like that starts in the thinking, starts in the mind. One commentary that I came across, it's for the phrase having, for this phrase, it says, having a fresh newness in all you do. And that's what it states for the phrase renewing of the mind. A fresh newness in all you do. And it is new because it's so different than the world. And I like the phrase. I use the other one because it's what the scripture says and it makes more sense, I think, to more people. But I like this particular phrase. Okay, I want us to go back to Romans chapter 12 again. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And brethren, as we stated earlier, here in verse 2, as believers, we are being told that we should be different from the unbelievers. We are to be different from the unbelievers. And I would dare say that without a doubt, most all of us as believers realize this statement is true. We realize that statement. However, I also come to the conclusion that too many believers are at a loss as how to accomplish this. Now, we've already seen, really, in one sense, how to accomplish, because, as we stated earlier, verse 2 gives us the answer. The key is our minds. Now, with that in mind, go with me to Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23, 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. We have to understand way, the majority of the times when the Old Testament uses the word heart, it's referring to what we would call our mind, our thinking. For as he thinks in his heart, our heart doesn't think. Our mind thinks. So is he. So in other words, what this is saying is that's who we are. So a question that I think, again, we need to ask ourselves is, what do you think about? What do you think on? And just stop and think about it from the point of view of, do you think more on the cares and the ways of the world, or do you think more on the way of life of God? So, brethren, please realize, if we think on the same things that the world thinks on, we're going to get the same results. If we think like they do, we're going to come to the same conclusions that they do. We've already seen they can't understand spiritual things because they don't have the discernment, which is saying they're not going to understand the ways of God. And that's why we're here. That's why we have committed ourselves to God and to the Sabbath and the holy days and living a particular way of life and denying ourselves certain foods and all of those things that we stand out as being different from the world. But if we think like the world, we're going to come to the same conclusion that the world does. And it's going to be wrong as a comparison to the godly way of life, yes or no? The answer is, it's going to be no. Because they cannot, that's what the scripture said, we read it earlier, they cannot discern spiritual things. And we want to be able to discern spiritual things. The other side is, if we keep our minds focused and fixed on God through the study of His Word, and then we are fellowshipping with Him, we are told that we will have, listen to this phrase, perfect peace. Now, that's an incredible phrase whenever you just think about it. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. And then it tells you the why. Because he trusts in God. If we have our minds fixed on God, not on the world, not on the pattern of the world, but our minds are fixed on God, he tells us, God tells us, that he will give us perfect peace. And the reason is because God knows that we are trusting who God is and what God has to say. And this is an incredible thing to think about. Believe it or not, it really is this simple. It's either think like the world or think like God. I didn't say one was easy and one was hard. I didn't say both were easy or both were hard, did I? I just said it is simple. It is simply that easy. Think like God or think like the world. Then it's the Word of God that tells us how not to think like the world, but how to think like God. And so I go back to what we've been stating all along. We have to have our minds and our eyes and our heart and our being in that sense in this book so that we will know how to think like God and not think like the world. That's how we have our minds transformed. And we're not conformed to the world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our minds because we begin to look and look more like God and less and less and less like the world. The Greek word metamorpho, I'll spell it, M-E-T-A-M-O-R-P-H-O-O. This is where we get our English word metamorphosis. It's translated here as transformed, and it is used to describe a complete change. You remember back from your old biology classes that it's the changing, say, from a butterfly, a caterpillar, a worm, into a beautiful butterfly. It's transformed. That's the word, metamorphosis. That process of happening is metamorphosis. We get it from this Greek word. That's the word transform. But be you transformed. In other words, we look like a worm, and now we're to look like a beautiful butterfly. Now you could get into it and say, yeah, but a beautiful butterfly doesn't last all that long. No, you know, the analogy breaks down quickly. But that's the same word. That's the point that I'm getting at. And so the same Greek word is also used to describe something else that we may not have thought about in this sense, but it's this Jesus being transfigured. That's the word we have in our English Bible. When it's over in Matthew 17, it's where his face was shining and his garments were like bright, like white, shining white. Matthew 17 in verse 2. This is the mountain of transfiguration. It's the same Greek word that means transformed. Metamorphosis. Metamorpho. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment, his clothing, was white as the light. So, brother, what we need to come to realize from verse 2 is that in bringing or in making our thoughts in line or to line up with God in his thinking or with his word, that will affect our complete transformation in our lives. There is no other source. You can think all day long and all night long and all day tomorrow and the next day and next week and next month, but you're never going to come to knowing how to look like God until we put our faces, our lives into this book and start looking more like this book. Remember, the first 11 chapters talks about the doctrinal teachings. This is who God is. This is what he's doing. This is what he's going to do with you. And then chapter 12 starts. Therefore, as a result of all of this teaching, well, we have it written down for us in a book. They didn't have it written down in the book. We do. All they had at that time was what we would call the Old Testament. We have all of it. And so it's handy for us. He just handed the book to us. We read it, we study, we fast, we pray, we meditate over it, we live it as a way of life, and we begin to look and look like God and less like the world. It is that simple. Coming to what we do, that's that simple. I want you to also notice with me over in John 3 and verse 3. John 3 and verse 3. Interesting chapter. I'm not going to go through only reading the one chapter. John 3 is also where we have John 3:16. God so loved the world. Different world. different word there. But anyway, John 3:3. Jesus answered, he's talking to Nicodemus, and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, the literal Greek translated would be born from above. I'm not getting into this doctrinal thing of born again or born from above, but that's what the literally wording would be. He cannot see the kingdom of God. What we need to understand is that when people are born from above, they become totally new creatures. And where does this totally new creature begin? In the mind. So it's from the very beginning when Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, tell us. He's whispering. Didn't say anything about him whispering, but he comes under the cover of night to him and says, great master, teach, show me what you're doing, what you would want us to know. And this is an incredible chapter. This is an incredible chapter. And in the very beginning part, he is telling us to change our thinking. I mean, unless a man is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're born. We no longer look like the world. We now look like God. And so it has to start with our thinking. So this is what he's telling them. This is what he's telling them from the very beginning. And so this is what we need to understand. So we can become new creatures. I also want us to understand that it is not God's will that we only be changed on the inside. Because there's more. God also wants to manifest. God also wants to make known the salvation that he is offering to us, even in our physical lives also. Now, it's not just what we think. Now, I know you could say, well, thinking is physical because we're physical beings. I understand, but I'm talking about that. But he also wants us to be changing on our outside, our physical as well. Need to understand that that takes place through the renewing of the mind. In other words, our behavior changes. So when Paul is talking about don't look like the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's talking about changing in our thoughts, but he's also talking about changing our whole behavior, our whole way of life. And this is what he's saying, brethren, because what we really need to comprehend is if we fail to renew our minds, we could live our entire life, even as a, quote, believer, without experiencing the abundant life that Jesus Christ offers to us. That's over in John 10:10. In John 10:10, the first part of the verse says, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Because you see, understand, this is what Satan and his world offers to those without renewed minds. Now we read what Jesus is offering those who are presenting their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds. And so in John 10:10, part B, he says, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And I'm saying to continue to live like the world lives, that's not abundant life that Jesus has offered to believers. And it ties right in with what Paul has said in Romans 12:1-2. Because that's what he's saying. We don't live the pattern of the world. We live the pattern of God. Starts in our thinking process. Let me kind of give you I got 3 points. Real quick points here, sort of like a quick review to where we are. The first one is, it is a one-time fork-in-the-road decision to present ourselves totally to God. That happens one time. We come to that place when you say, you are right, you are God, I want to live that way of life, and I make this choice, I make this decision to live this way of life. That's a one time, and I'm calling it fork in the road. The second point is, it is a continuous process of not conforming to the world that will always, always pull us away from God and from God's way of life. And the third one is, it is a continuous process of transformation by the renewing of our minds. One of these things is a one-time thing. All the rest is a continuous process all of our physical life. I want to go back and I want to give you another meaning, dictionary meaning here, of the word transformed, where we get our English word metamorphosis. It means a marked change in appearance, character, condition, or function. That's the actual dictionary definition. This is from the American Heritage College edition dictionary. It's on the version, on the one that I looked in, it's on page 856. So becoming a true believer is all about change. And the change starts with the decision. Our body didn't do anything. You know, we didn't grow an inch. We didn't lose 3 pounds. You know, none of that happened. We made a choice. We made a decision. That's the start of the change. And that's a one-time decision. And then the following through, being transformed, not conforming to the world, because, you know, we can always get caught up in and doing things we shouldn't be, but we know the reality is that can happen. And being transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's another process that continues on and on and on. This is something that we do, must be doing every day. I'm not going to go there, but in 2 Corinthians 15, verse 17, it says that those who are in Christ are new creatures. Now, what that is telling us is that the old has passed away and the new has come. This old way of life, the looking like the world, is past or is passing. And we're now looking more and more and more like the new, like God. In other words, the person is being changed inside and being renewed. Then the behavior will change also. That's why I said it's not just the inside, but it is our behavior changes also, so it could be seen on the outside. Yeah, people should see that we're different. We think differently and we live differently than others. Go with me, though, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. In other words, it is a day by day overhauling. It doesn't happen once. It's a day by day process. How does this work? By the renewing of the mind. That's where it has to start. Please, brethren, also understand a change in behavior always begins with a change in the way we think. A change of behavior always begins with the way we think. Colossians 3 and verse 10. Colossians 3 verse 10. And have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. In other words, we begin to look more and more like Jesus Christ. This is a progressive process in the believer's life that never ends. Not as long as we're in this physical life. In other words, the believer's life does not stand still. However, it moves from what is good to what is better. We see it, oh, that's a good thing. Now our life has changed. Our behavior is even different, and that's better. And that's better. Okay, I want you to go back again with me to Romans 12. This time we're going to read verse 2. But be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice the word prove. The word prove is defined as to establish the truth or to establish the validity of, or by argument or evidence. In other words, to be shown to be such. This is what it is. This is what it is. So what this is saying is that this is how to display physically God's will in our lives. Brethren, this is a promise that if we fulfill the requirements of Romans 1 and 2, we will prove, not might prove, but will prove, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Am I implying that unless we are doing Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 that we're never really going to come and understand this? I don't know that I would state it as that hard, but on the surface, yeah, I think that's what he's saying. Because it says, and then proof. So, and as you might expect, when we come to this phrases to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, there's a difference of opinions among scholars as to what Paul is actually addressing here. Was Paul using good and acceptable and perfect to describe the will of God? Or was he saying that there are stages in our walking in the will of God, meaning the good, the acceptable, and the perfect? But brethren, God willing, this is a teaching for another day. Part 3. I hope these first two are clear. I hope they're easier to understand that there are things that we're to be doing, because when we get into the next one, it takes on a total different thing in that sense. But as I said, God willing, I want to do in a part 3 the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. What is he referring to, and what does it look like, and what does it mean for us as believers? So anyway, I hope this has been clear and helpful. The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, God bless each one of you.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.